Again, God has blessed us to be able to see another beautiful day of life with some passing storms this morning, but the sun is out, and have a beautiful morning to assemble together in a fashion like this to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you. I'm certainly thankful and glad to be with you, and I'm glad to see you and that you've decided, as was mentioned earlier, to ready yourselves and come out and be together in this assembly. Especially want to again thank our visitors for being with us, and that is a blessing to each and every one of us and an encouragement that you've decided to be with us. I encourage you to get your Bibles out and make sure that what we speak is in harmony with the Word of God. We seek to stick with the Bible, not to go beyond what it says, not to fall short of what it says, but to preach only what it says. And if you find that I've missed the mark, you let me know that. And if I'm wrong about it, I'll make correction of it and never preach it again. Our appeal is to the Word of God and the Word of God only. I'm not the standard. So you don't put your faith and confidence in my words. I'm not going to give you my thinking or my opinion about the matter, but only what the Bible says. And I appreciate you being attentive along those lines. It was read for our scripture reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with verse 5. There's a statement that Paul pens as he's writing to the Christians at Corinth. And I typically use the King James Version, but I really like the wording of the New King James Version. In verse 9, when the Bible says, "For a great and effective door is open to me, or has opened to me, and our many adversaries." We are blessed with opportunity after opportunity after opportunity along many lines. God blesses us to have various opportunities along life's ways. We've got to keep our eyes open for those opportunities, lest we miss them. We may get another opportunity, but we'll never get that opportunity, right? So an opportunity that is missed, that we don't grab hold of, is just a missed opportunity. And we don't want missed opportunities, especially in service to our Father. I think we can each appreciate and see the importance of opportunities. Most of you work secular jobs and you long to be promoted, and you work hard so that you can have the opportunity to be promoted and to make advancement within the company that you work. And so we appreciate and we see the need and the importance of opportunities. I want us to focus this morning, as I promised last week, on visitors. Not that I'm going to single visitors out. So if you're visiting with us, you rest easy about that. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, and I'm not going to single you out. But I do want to say that we're thankful that you're here, and we want you to be comfortable as you make your visit with us. But I promised last week that we would talk about visitors and bring forth a needed lesson concerning the blessing to have visitors among us. And I put on the board a door of opportunity. Doors of opportunity were open to people of the Bible, just like doors of opportunity are open to us today. And visitors are a very important blessing and opportunity. Now, I want to say at the beginning that Mill Street is blessed along those lines. We sit in a good location, close to the interstate. We're blessed with visitors nearly every Sunday. Not every congregation can say that. I labored for a lot of years at a congregation that was off the beaten path, as it were. And hardly ever did we get travelers who were just passing through. But we're blessed here to have visitors nearly every Sunday. Are you thankful for that? I am. And I hope that you are, and I know that most of you are thankful for visitors to be with us. We've got a card out in the foyer. Most of you have seen this. Hopefully you've picked these up and you've passed them out. We've still got a ton of these left. But on the front of this, after it says Mill Street Church of Christ, it says a friendly growing church with a vital message. Do you believe that's the case concerning Mill Street? I believe with all my heart that we have a vital message. Do you? I believe with all of my heart that we are growing. We've had some numerical growth, and we are growing spiritually because we are staying with what the Bible says. Book, chapter, and verse, Bible, teaching and preaching. But I ask you, is it the case that we are a friendly group? I believe we are. As a matter of fact, it was just recently that a couple wanted to place membership with us, and one of the things in which they said that they really appreciated and was one of the determining factors as they were visiting around was because of the friendliness of the members. I appreciated that comment. Now, that's not a pat on my back, but that's a testament to the fact that you like to have visitors among you. And I appreciate that. I commend you for that. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that and over again. And so all that we talk about in the lesson this morning is not a beating up of anyone. It's not something to discourage you, to be negative for the sake of being negative, but simply to provoke and to admonish each and every one of us to fulfill our responsibilities and to not miss the door of opportunity presented to us when we have visitors among us. And we can each learn from that, grow from it, and I hope that it'll be a good lesson that'll be have some takeaways for each of us. Come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, you're familiar with this chapter. It's one of three chapters that make up this Sermon on the Mount speech section of the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, begin with verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How we conduct ourselves matters. And it doesn't only matter out in the world, it matters within these four walls, how we conduct ourselves. Especially if we want to continue to have visitors be among us. And we know that there are situations when individuals are just merely passing through and they're traveling and they may stop and visit with us and then go on to their destination and we may not have opportunity or occasion to have them with us again. But sometimes we have visitors who may be local, not far from us, and we want to see them again and again and again, right? And it may be that individuals decide that they're not going to come back. But let it never be the case that individuals decide, I'm not going back because of the way that they treated me. We want to be friendly. And we want to welcome people to come and to be with us. So let's talk about visitors and what opportunities are extended to us when visitors are among us. Now, it was mentioned a moment ago, we had visitors with us. Again, we thank you for coming. We're glad you're here. But I asked the members this morning, did you think about any opportunities that have presented to you themselves because we have visitors? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about the many opportunities that come along with having visitors? Let's think about some of them. I'm just going to give you about five of them in the lesson this morning. There's many more, I'm sure. And you could add this list. The first one I want you to think about is one that's probably already crossed your mind. It is an opportunity to teach the gospel. Did you think about that one? Usually that's probably what we typically think of first. We're glad people are here. We're glad to be here because it's an opportunity to learn the truth. It's an opportunity to extend the saving message of the gospel of Christ to those who are with us. And that is an opportunity. It's not only an opportunity for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, of which we are commanded to do, 2 Peter 3:18, but it's an opportunity to share that with others, maybe who are hearing it for the first time. Maybe who will never hear it again. I mentioned yesterday that those who are listening to that sermon may never hear the gospel again. Today may be the last sermon that I ever preach. I don't know. And so it's an opportunity to make sure that we can teach the gospel, at least expose people to what the Bible is saying, in the hopes that they'll hear it, believe it, obey it, come back and learn more, have a desire to study and learn more. As we serve God, as we try to teach the gospel, we're sowing seed, right? Jesus taught about the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And sometimes that seed falls upon various places, various hearts and minds of men and women. When the seed is sown and it falls upon the hearts and minds of good and honest people who desire to learn it and obey it, we'll see the results of that. But folks, the seed is never going to grow. It'll never germinate if it's not first what? Planted. Haggai 2:18, is there seed yet in the barn? Now, many of you are reaping the harvest already of what you've planted in your garden. You've blessed me with some of that. I appreciate that, by the way. But had you not planted that seed, would you have been out there expecting to have a harvest? Well, you say, of course not. Well, certainly we understand that it's got to be planted. And folks, as we teach the gospel, we are planting the seed of the kingdom. The Lord identified the word as being in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 11. And we can see the value of learning, the value of teaching in a lot of places in the Bible. I made this statement before, but it bears repeating now, that every example of conversion in the book of Acts first began by individuals hearing the word of truth. Not just stumbling upon it. Not by accident. They were blessed with opportunity and they heard the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Ask the question, how is an individual drawn to the Father? Notice the next verse. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You see the importance of hearing, the importance of learning? Romans chapter 10 is another passage that talks about that. How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel and so forth. How shall they hear? Remember that passage? Got to be taught. Got to hear the word of truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, he says it in verse 17. And so as you think about visitors and doors of opportunity, it's an opportunity that individuals hear the gospel. There's eternal consequences for not knowing God and not obeying the gospel of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9. And so we've got to teach the gospel. Folks, we'd be lost, every one of us, if it wasn't for the gospel. If it wasn't for Christ. If it wasn't for the love of God, that He commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Willingly went to the cross, as a sheep to the slaughter. Remember that, Acts 8? Pointing back to the prophecy concerning Christ in Isaiah 53. Willingly went to the cross to die for you and me and all others. Tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. You think individuals need to know about that? I do. I'm convinced of that. And I think you are too. And so we see the importance of teaching the gospel to individuals. And so that's a great opportunity. Let's not waste it. It can be wasted, these opportunities. If we were to spend our time doing things of which the religious world are caught up in doing today, saying jokes and spending their time telling stories of which have no spiritual application or value whatsoever, just to make people feel good and tickle their ears and get them to laugh so that they might come back because they like the sense of being entertained. We're not in the entertainment business, are we? We're in the soul-saving business. And so let's not waste these God-given opportunities. But there's another opportunity I want you to think about as we think about having visitors among us. And that comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 32, Ephesians 4, and in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, folks, sometimes we have individuals who visit with us who've never obeyed the gospel. And many times we have individuals who visit with us who have obeyed the gospel, a mixture of saved and lost. This is a good opportunity for us to show kindness to others. One another. Let others see that. Have you thought about that opportunity? In being kind, God expects us to be kind, tender-hearted, showing love one for another. And so when we have visitors among us, and by the way, not only when we have visitors among us, it's an opportunity, though, for us to show kindness to others. Do you think it's important that when someone is visiting with us, perhaps for the first time, or maybe not even for the first time, but they've been here time and time again, you think we ought to be kind, friendly? Sure. We need to be kind and do just what the Bible says, as we just read from Ephesians 4 and in verse 32. Come with me to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, and let's read verses 31 through 35. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. If you were visiting a place, how would you want to be treated as a visitor? I recall working with an individual who was telling me about visiting at a particular place, and she said, I just don't get why it cannot be somewhere in the middle. I had no idea what she's talking about. But she explained to me, she said, I go visit with someone and it's either feast or famine. She said, it's either I'm bombarded with a multitude of people at the door, which made her feel uncomfortable. I'm not saying it does everybody. Or she said, it's famine. There's nobody that talks with you. Well, some folks are not always comfortable greeted in various different ways. Right? I'll give you a little sample of that. Some folks are not comfortable shaking hands. Folks who don't attend with us, who really or maybe don't attend church anywhere, per se, are not used to having their hands up, being greeted in that way. Some people are not huggers. I grew up in a part of the state where everybody were huggers. And just they shook hands. But for the most part, people would grab a hold of you and hug you. And that's okay. But not everybody's comfortable with that. And so we need to keep that in mind, certainly. But my point is how would you want to be treated? Now, do we treat our visitors that way? Would you want to be greeted when you are traveling? Made to feel at home? Welcome. Told that you're glad that folks are glad that you're here. Or would you rather walk in and you could hear a pin hit the floor? met with awkward stares as though, well, who are those people? It makes you feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? Let's be aware of that. Greet people when they come in. That's important, to be kind and do that. Well, he goes on to say, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do good even to the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. How are we as we treat others, not only visitors, but how are we as we treat others in general? The Bible teaches us that God is good and kind in a lot of ways to even those who have not obeyed Him. You know, there's a lot of people who woke up this morning who did not have God on their mind, had other things of which they were interested in doing, other places of which they were interested in being, but the sun is shining on them as well as it is on His children. Matthew 5:45, talking about physical blessings, gives sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. Even the lost are recipients of God's blessing when it comes to the rain. And the list goes on and on. Well, as you think about being kind, what does that look like? Yes, the Bible says, be ye kind. Yes, the Bible talks about love. Well, what does that look like? Perhaps it might do us better to think about what that does not look like. And we can better appreciate what it does look like. It does not look like just simply avoiding individuals who are visiting with us. We need to make it a point, a conscientious point, that when we have folks visiting with us, that we speak to them. I just read the card to you a moment ago. A warm, right, or a friendly, growing church. What does it look like to be friendly? Being kind and friendly and welcoming to our visitors does not look like that they are a bother for being here or an inconvenience for being here. Make them feel welcome. And there's a number of ways in which you can do that. Tell them, I'm not saying that you need to run up somebody and dominate the conversation until worship begins. But be friendly. Speak to them. Shake their hand. At least extend an opportunity to do that. Tell them that you are glad that they're here. You appreciate them being here. You want them to come back and be with us again. It might mean that we need to happily scoot over or even get up and move. Now, for the most part, if you want to know whether me and my family's here, you could turn around and look on the back seat. That's where we've sit since we've attended here. And that's true for the most of us, right? If I want to know if the Hayes family is in town or not, I can look up here and that's where they sit at. Sit on Shirley. All the way around, we have places where we, out of habit, we sit, and that's okay. But there's nothing wrong with having to sit somewhere else either. I'd be willing to move, if need be, if that meant that a family larger than mine, in order to sit together, needed that back seat. Well, we might just scoot to another seat. That's okay. Be friendly in doing that. Notice that I said happily move over or move to another seat. Sometimes individuals come to visit with us and they're looking out for a place to sit, right? You might want to get up and help them find a place to sit. Or if there's room beside you, scoot over and let them sit with you. That's a good way to make them feel welcome. Come sit with me. It's okay. If you have room to do that. My point about that is make them feel welcome. Not that it's a hindrance to us. Not that it's a bother. We don't have assigned seats, do we? Right? Now, we might feel like we own where we sit, but we don't. I like where I sit, too. I feel like I can see everything. But that's not my seat. Right? And so we don't have assigned seats. You know, there's some places that might have a little rule that they put into place for the members to strive to sit not at the same place two Sundays in a row. Always strive to sit somewhere else. Nothing wrong with that. But especially when we have visitors with them, be willing, if need be, to let them have your seat or to sit with you. Whatever the case may be. Here's another way. These are just practical, applicable things that you can do. Help our visitors find the passages as we're given a lesson. Not everyone knows where passages are at in the Bible. We make our appeal to the Word of God. It's the power to save, Romans 1:16. And not everyone knows where to go in the Bible. We make Bibles available for individuals. Help them to navigate through the Bible. I put on here just a notation myself. Tell them what you would like for them to know. Now, before you take that and run with it in a direction that I did not intend, what I mean by that is if you're glad that they're here, tell them that. If you want to see them come back and be with us, tell them that. If their presence meant something to you, tell them that. Mark does a great job in getting those visitors' cards and scanning those and sending those out in an email that we might have some contact with our visitors. Send them a note of appreciation and thanks. We're glad you were with us. That was an encouragement. We're talking about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. To be kind. Can we not demonstrate kindness in that way? And encourage them to come back, especially if we feel like there's value in what we're trying to do. There's value in the message of which we're trying to proclaim. There's value in the work of which we have undertaken and that we have purpose to do. Show some kindness. Number three, as you think about a door of opportunity for visitors, it's an opportunity that if you're able to demonstrate some hospitality. I know that's not always possible. Listen, I know what chaos is at home with children. I know what it's like. That sometimes you want to be hospitable, but at the same time, someone comes over and it might just not be peaceful all the time. So far, you have kids. People understand that. But there's a lot of ways of which we can be hospitable. Someone's traveling through, and you know that they're traveling through, you can offer them something. If you can. Many of you, I know, go out and eat nearly every Sunday, I hear. You talk about. And that's okay. You might have room for another person. Say, hey, we're going over and would you like to join us? And what have you? Might be something simple. I know you're passing through. Listen, I've got some water over at the house that's cold. Would you like a bottle of water to take with you? Many times individuals will say no. Just passing through. Sometimes individuals may say, yes, I'd like that. And that's okay. But it is an opportunity for us to show some hospitality to folks. And the Bible teaches us to be hospitable. Use hospitality one toward another, Paul wrote in Romans 12 and in verse 13. Be hospitable, he talks about in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Someone has once said that hospitality is almost a lost art. You agree with that? We're busy. We're tied up. We've involved ourselves in so many things, and I understand that. I'm busy too. And I know you are. But I'm talking about beginning with me and then all the way around the room for us to try to not miss doors of opportunity when we have visitors with us. I remember my dad so many times talking about, and of course it was a different time. I understand that. It was a different culture. But I remember him so well talking about, of course, that most they would walk to the building. They lived about a mile and a half, mile and three quarters from the building. They would walk to service. But he would always mention to me time and time again that on their way home that they would constantly be met with opportunities of individuals saying, come and eat with us. And that was just a big thing with them. You would go home with someone on Sunday. You would have the lunch meal with them. And then go back to service. I can remember when it was more along those lines when I was growing up. A lot more so than it is now. But we have opportunity from time to time to at least express some amount of hospitality to those that are visiting with us. A couple more points. It's an opportunity for us to demonstrate a positive influence over others. I read a moment ago from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the light of the world. Then he makes a statement of fact. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's an opportunity for us to have a positive influence on others. Folks, others don't have homes. A home environment like you do. Some folks who visit with us come from broken homes. From homes where the relationships are not always what it needs to be. And that's not only out in the world, but we know that happens to God's people too from time to time. But show them what it's like to be met with friendliness, respect, gratitude for their presence, and the list goes on and on. Be a positive influence when it comes to the fact that you're here. In Psalm 122:1, the psalmist declared, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be here this morning? You think it goes further for someone to be met with a smile or with a frown? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let therefore no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. By the way, when we have visitors who come among us and they sit down, what are they hearing before and after service? What are they hearing the people in the back of them and in front of them or on the sides talking about? I encourage each of us to be careful what we're talking about. Be mindful of what we're talking about. Folks, don't gossip. I started to say it's not the time for gossip, but there's no time for gossip, right? No time is a time for gossip. Especially when we have visitors with us. It's not the time either to talk about things of which we might be struggling about. Every congregation has struggles, and it's not the time for us to be airing that out in the ears of our visitors when they're among us. I mentioned a moment ago to several times to speak to them. I know that we can always improve and do better. I've made the observation at times, and I understand when you have a good number of people like we had this morning, individuals are going to get away from you and you're not going to get to every individual in spite of your best efforts. Right? People may leave early. People may come in late. We strive not to do that habitually. But you may not have that opportunity every single time to speak to every single person. But also, let it not be the case and continue to be the case that individuals will come in and right to their seat and leave and only speak to individuals as they might bump into them as they're going out the door. Let's not be that way. Have a positive influence on others. One more. Having visitors among us is a door of opportunity when it comes to being an example. An example. For those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ and for those who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, examples are important. Jesus talked about the fact that He set an example for the apostles, John 13:15. In 1 Corinthians 10:6, these are examples for us. In 1 Peter 2:21, Jesus left us an example that we should follow His steps. We see the importance of setting a good example. You know, the Bible says in John 4:24 that God is spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means according as the Word directs and with the right attitude, the right proper attitude. We need to set a good example before others of what our conduct needs to be in worship. You agree with that? Does conduct matter in our worship? Does it matter what I'm doing? Sometimes it's stated before the service begins to silence your pagers and cell phones, put them on vibrate. I even add on there a couple of silence all phones, pagers, and candy wrappers. Sometimes I do that too. I try not to make noise with them. But I understand sometimes individuals need that. But understand sometimes that we can be a distraction to the attention that others are trying to pay. Maybe not intentionally. Maybe we're not doing it on purpose. But sometimes we might be. Set a good example of what conduct needs to go on as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Be mindful of that, new generation. Even into my generation and beyond, with electronics. Sometimes I understand you get a call and you have to take it. That's happened to me too. But many times electronics can wait. Set a good example. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Be thou an example of the believers in word and faith and conduct and so forth." It's an opportunity when we have visitors to set a good example, a good atmosphere, environment where we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's strive to be respectful of our worship service. We're worshiping God, the very being who created us. And especially for individuals that we might strive to teach and lead to Christ, don't we want to set a positive example for them that when they do obey the gospel of Christ, they can know how they ought to be in worship? I wrote some things down, and as I thought about what that looks like, I put down no unnecessary talking. And as I thought about that, because you can't just say no talking, right? If you're a parent, you understand that. And I am. I put down no unnecessary talking. There's times when you've got to talk to your children. Whether it's telling them, now's not the time. Listen. Sing. Or whatever the case may be. The conversations of which have no place in the worship of God ought not take place. Right? Again, with the right attitude, the right frame of mind. And so keep those conversations in their proper place. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Some may say, Don, you know, that might have been a lesson that was better for a Sunday night. Well, you know what? We might have visitors with us on a Sunday night as well. And many times we do. But it's a lesson that is needed anytime. Especially if we want to be a group that welcomes visitors, that's thankful that they're here with us, and wants them to return and be with us. Hope that the lesson's been a benefit to you. If you feel like that I've missed a mark in some way, you let me know that. So you take these things and you study them. And let's be the kind of people that God would have us to be so that we can have visitors with us who will want to come back. Hope you'll take the time before you leave today to apply some of these things. Have a good number of visitors with us this morning. Speak with them. Invite them to come back and to be with us. Maybe you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You have an opportunity to obey. You have an opportunity before you leave to say that you'd like to study further. We'd like to do that. There's only one way to become a Christian. That's by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24, I told you in the sermon that He died for our sin, shed His blood on the cross. We've got to believe that God sent Him, that He is the Son of God. As a eunuch expressed and confessed in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Got to repent of our sins, turn from the ways of the world to that which is right, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and 10, verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, you've turned your back on the Lord. You want to be restored, you want to come home. We'll pray with Him for you. You repent of those things, make confession of them. Don't delay, come right now.